I was preaching in revival meeting this week, there out of the book of John, chapter 12, about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and in John chapter 12, about how Mary, she took a spikenard, and she anointed his feet with that spikenard, and then dried his feet with her hair. And the Bible says, and you'll remember this when I say it, that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It was also filled, it doesn't say this, but I believe it was also filled with the odor of worship. I believe that was the ointment, not just the spikenard, but I believe it was the worship. And I'll never forget, and I tried to tell them as I was preaching in Nebo this week, about that rose that God allowed me to take up here in this pulpit and break and beat and crush and watch all its petals fall to the ground. And as I stood here trying to preach that message, smell from up off the ground the odor of the petals of that rose that was crushed. I'll never forget that. And how it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to crush him. And how that Ephesians 5:2 said that that sacrifice was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And there's also the savor of our worship. We remember how Noah got on off the boat and he offered sacrifice to the Lord. Remember that? And when he did, it was a sweet smelling savor into the nostrils of God. What about that ointment? Think about that till I was preaching this week. What about that ointment that Mary had that she put on Jesus' feet? There's an odor to worship. Amen? Just worship. And I appreciate that song. Amen? Now, I've really wrestled about preaching tonight what the Lord has laid on my heart. Really wrestled. You may say, well, you say that all the time. Try it sometime. You want to get up here and give the message of God, not the message of flesh. Right. You want to give what God lays on your heart, what thus saith the Lord. Sometimes He'll give it to you and let you write down a few thoughts. Sometimes He gives it to you right before you get up here and everything you studied goes out the window. And I've really wrestled about what to do for now. I've wrestled with it all week, to be honest with you, about what to do for Sunday evening. I knew since last Sunday what I was going to preach yesterday morning. That's the first time I've known weeks ahead of time what I was going to preach. This morning. And amazing, that group come in and tied it all together. That was amazing how that happened. Tonight I want to look, or I want to begin, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. I'm not going to be worried about length of time. I never seem to, anyway. Now I know somebody wanted to say amen. You was really holding back right there. But I feel like God would have us title this message. And I want to try to lay the foundation for the message. But I think what God would have us to study tonight is the adversary's animal actions. The adversary's animal actions. Now, you better classify the adversary. He's the devil. In the Word of God, he is portrayed in many places as an animal. He's always up to something, some kind of action. Tonight we want to study that. Remember that the devil didn't start out on this earth. He started out in heaven. Lucifer is his name. He is the great angel that is in charge of praise. That was his job. He was directing the choir of all of glory to sing praises unto Jesus. Now, you'll find some archangels in the Bible. You'll find one named Michael. He is the archangel of judgment, the archangel of warfare. I believe he is the archangel that stands for God himself, as God is a God of judgment and a God of wrath. He's a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. You may say, preacher, Tell me what that means. He said, these six things doth God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. There's some things God hates. He is a God of judgment. Then there's another archangel by the name of Gabriel. Every time you see Gabriel, he's offering up the good news. The good news. And I believe he is the archangel that stands for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the good news that Jesus saves. And I believe that Lucifer was the archangel in charge of praise. And if Michael was there with for God and Gabriel was there for the Holy Spirit, then Lucifer would have been the one directing the choir to praise Jesus. But he got lifted up in pride. He didn't want to sing praise to Jesus. He wanted to sing praise to himself. And for this rebellion and this sin of pride, God kicked him out of heaven. And a third of the angels went with him. This ain't new to you, is it? We begin in Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? We'll stop reading right there, but you can already see in these verses many actions that Lucifer's committing. I will ascend. I will be like. He's buried, lifted up in pride. And for these things, there was a warfare in heaven. There was sin in heaven. Preacher, you just said there was sin in heaven. That surely can't be. What do you think pride is but sin? It began in heaven. That's why the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the heavens would have to be cleansed, because sin originated there. And the devil got kicked out. Where did he get kicked out to? To this earth. He landed here. In fact, the very things that God had made, he had made the heaven and the earth. And when the devil came here, he took this earth and made it a wilderness. You don't believe me, do you? What did I just read to you in verse 17? That made the world a wilderness. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. 1:2 says, and the earth was void. You ever seen God create anything that's void? It tells me that if God created heaven and earth, something happened to make it void. What happened? The devil got kicked out of heaven and the world became a wilderness. That's all right. God's going to move up on it. Kind of like me. He created me, but I became void because I got lost. Dead in trespasses and sin. But praise be to God, one night the Holy Ghost came and began to move upon me. His Spirit began to move upon me and share with me about Jesus. The book of Job, chapter 1. Preacher, where are you going with this message? Just hang in there. The book of Job, chapter 1, we know that Job was that perfect man, the one that feared God, the one that eschewed evil. And Job, chapter 1, verse 6, I'm trying to play out in your mind tonight that the devil's not in hell like you think he is. He, my friend, is going to and fro in this earth or on this earth trying to do his business. He's got demons or angels that had fallen out of heaven that followed him that helped do his business. Sometimes if you step and say, the devil really fought me, you might be giving him too much credit. Sometimes it's the flesh. Sometimes it's the world. Sometimes it's some of his little imps that's bothering us, not the devil himself. Friend, I'm telling you, the devil himself's big enough to where if he bothers you, you and I will probably fail. Amen?
except for the Holy Ghost that lives inside us, I know we'd fail. In Job 1:6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You see that? He had access to the throne of God. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence camest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Friends, I'm telling you, the devil's not locked up in hell tonight. He's the prince and the power of the air. He tonight would stop you from hearing this message. He tonight would hinder me from trying to speak this message. But thanks be unto God, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Now, knowing these things, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. I want us tonight to study some of his animal actions or some of his tactics. I can't get them all. Time would fail me to do that. But tonight I want us to see some of his tactics. Lord, tonight, I pray, God, that you'd blow the devil out. You'd expose him for the very varmint that he is. I pray, God, that we'd stop hanging around him. We'd recognize who he is, what his goals are. Help us, God, to be able to resist him and draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto us. Lord, tonight I pray you'd help us to stand and preach the message. Pray the devil would be defeated in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, we'll start there. We realize that the devil's been kicked out of heaven. We realize that a third of the angels has followed him. We realize then that there is no archangel that represents Jesus or praising unto Jesus in heaven. So God says, we're going to make a replacement. I'm going to create a man. Then I'm going to create a whoa man. I remember that's what I said about my wife when I saw her, whoa man. I like that. Amen. That's in the Bible. It says whoa man. I'll read it to you. It's there. And God put them in the Garden of Eden, in a paradise, so to speak. But the devil knowing that Adam and Eve were created to offer praise unto God, he hated the replacements. And he's against them. He's going to do everything he can to kill them and shut them out and keep somebody from praising God. You realize tonight why the devil hates you so much? You're his replacement. If you're saved, you're going to heaven and you're going to praise Jesus forever and ever, and the devil ain't going back. Amen. That's why he hates you so much. That's why he fights you so much. Recognize him for the very devil that he is. Now, let's see this demon, chapter 3, verse 1. And all of them are animals, and there's an action here. Now the serpent, there's our animal, the serpent. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. The woman knew the word of God was mentioned to her, was messaged to her. She knew that. She believed that. She has repeated those very words. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Y'all know the rest of the story. How their eyes were opened, and now they went and hid themselves. They were in sin. They went and hid themselves, and how God came looking for them in the cool of the day. I say tonight that the devil came as a serpent to seduce. That's why he came, to seduce. Now, if you're going to seduce one, you're going to deceive them. And you're going to be sly. And you're going to be specific in your words. And what you want to cause that person to do is to doubt God's word. When the devil, as a serpent, came to the woman to seduce her, he was there to deceive her and to cast doubt on the word of God. Not just on the word of God, but on God's love for the woman and for her husband. You hear me tonight? Some trial in your life, some situation that's harder than you thought it ought to be. Your circumstances are difficult, and the devil jumps on your shoulder and gets right in your ear and says, God don't really care for you. I mean, you've served him all these many years, and now look at your situation. I think it's time for you to start laying out a little bit. Be unfaithful to prayer meeting. Be unfaithful to the prayer room. Go ahead and slack up a little bit. I mean, if God really loved you, he wouldn't put you in such dire circumstances. You see, the devil, he was seducing the woman in the garden, and he's still trying to seduce the Christians tonight to think that God does not care for you. He wants to cast doubt over your title. But I want to say to you tonight, the devil is a liar and the father of it. We see his animal tactics in his seduction. He's trying to seduce you tonight right out of the house of God. Isn't it amazing how he'll give you every reason in the world not to read the Word of God anymore? You know it's important. You know it needs to be read and looked at and studied over. Yet you'll study everything else. And the devil will give you every excuse under the sun to stay away from the Word of God. And for some of us, the only Word of God we get is when we come to church on Sunday. We need it on Monday. I'm not talking about revival meetings. I'm talking about in your home, in your work time, when you're allowed to take a break. I'm talking about when God will allow you, do you study the Word of God? Or are you out studying recipes? You out studying the sale paper? Sports page. I'm telling you, think tonight, you'll look at me and say, well, I know the devil seduces, but you don't realize, what you don't realize is when he's seducing, you don't realize how he's doing it, and he's very good at what he does. You don't even realize you're being seduced until it's too late. I'm telling you tonight, he's trying to seduce this church. Second of all, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, now remember over there, we was talking about that serpent, how he seduces. Bible said he was more subtle than any beast of the field. You know what that means? That he's more beautiful. He's more beautiful. He was very pleasant for the woman to look at. Now, does the Bible not say that the devil can be transformed into an angel of light? He can be very pleasant to look at. She can be very pleasant to look at. That thing you desire can be very pleasant because the devil can make it look attractive. But friend, I'm telling you, it's there to deceive you and seduce you. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3. Jesus speaking here says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you see the devil here in this story? You certainly see him in verse number 4. That when the seed, that represents the Word of God. The sower that sows the seed is the Word of God. Precious Word of God being sowed. When that seed is sowed, and if it falls by the wayside, you see the fowl or a bird who comes and what does the Bible say? He comes and devours the seeds up. That's the devil. That's the devil. Down on about verse number 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Maybe the word of God was preached to you. You got some of it, but you didn't get all of it. I dare say most of us, they tell me that most people, when they hear a message, they retain about 6 minutes of a 30-minute message. That's why I preach so long. I'm hoping y'all will get about double that. That's what they tell me. 6 minutes of a 30-minute message. Maybe there's a lot of fuss in there and a lot of gob and a lot of goo. But in that 24 minutes that you missed, if there was seed sown, it fell by the wayside. Am I the only one here that say, when the preachers preach the word of God to me, there's been seed in my life, it's fell by the wayside. I'm surely there's something that went right over my head, it went right around me, I did not understand it. Rather than you going home, trying to glean out what you didn't understand and pray over it, the fowl comes in, shoo, and quickly snatches that up. That bird, we saw the serpent, how he seduces. We see the bird, how he steals. He wants to take the word of God away from you, or take you away from the word of God. The Bible says he is that wicked one. Now, if you're confused about who the wicked one is, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 8, and you'll see this again. Luke chapter 8, down there, verse number 5. The serpent that seduced, he wants you to doubt what God's word says and about what God's love is meant to be for you. This bird that steals, he wants to deny you the word of God. He wants to deny you complete victory. You hear me tonight? Am I the only one that's ever sat in a service? And while the preacher was preaching, I had my mind on things of tomorrow. Look, I look right at him. I look right at him. Say, bless him, Lord. Look right at him. Say, boy, in the morning I got to get up at 6:30. And I have a test at 8. And I have, I wonder what I'll eat for break tomorrow. And I got a meeting with the boss. I'm dreading that. And then I got to mow grass at 4:30. I hope I can go get it all done. Wait a minute. What was the preacher preaching about? Am I the only idiot that's ever done that? There may be somebody not doing that right now. Hey, look up here. Get your mind off mowing the grass. The devil's trying to steal all these things away from you. He's trying to steal the word of God from you. In the book of Luke chapter 8, Jesus, again, Luke is recounting this story, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Remember, he's the prince and the power of the air. He is the fowl of the air. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it withered away because it lacked moisture, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up. And sprang up with it and choked it. Other fell on good ground, sprang up, and bare forth 100-fold. Now he's going to start telling you what this means. And verse number 12 says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Not only is this talking about the lost man being saved, but what about the Christian needing deliverance? Needing the message of hope for your weary soul? Devil don't want you to get that. Now that you're saved, he can't change that, but he can change your outlook. He can change your attitude, and he wants to swoop in and steal away your thunder. He wants to swoop in, steal away your joy. He's trying to steal what victory you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's identifying for the very devil that he is. Why does he want to steal the Word of God away from you? Because he's afraid you'll get it and that you'll praise the Lord. Let's look at it again in John chapter 10. I believe you're starting to get the picture. In John chapter 10, we remember this is a story of the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd, Jesus is. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He is the coming shepherd, amen. He's going to appear. And the Bible says in John chapter 10, he says in verse number 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd," amen, "and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he's a hireling, and careth not for the sheep." Do you see the devil in here? He is the wolf. He is the wolf. We saw him as a serpent. We saw him as a fowl. Now we see him as a wolf. Let me say something about a wolf. Now, any one of us, if we ain't careful, can turn into a wolf and turn on our brothers or sisters in Christ when the devil tries to influence our attitude. But the big wolf is the devil. He's the devil. I looked this word up in the Greek. I got out my Greek New Testament. I began to study this word wolf. It is the word leukos, L-U-K-O-S in the Greek. This is amazing to me. The word is derived from the word for white. I say to you that the wolf wants to shine. He wants to fit in with everybody else and appear to you pure and white and shine out amongst everybody else. Oh, he's one of the best. She's one of the best. I'm telling you, they're the best people I ever know in my life. Trying to shine out. The wolf wants to shine. But what does the wolf really want to do? He wants to divide the sheep. He wants to get in there and cut some of them over here and put some of them over there and get some back here in the corner and get some over there. You can see what he does. He wants to come in and he wants to scatter the sheep. And you know why he wants to scatter them? So he can conquer them. He wants to scatter them and cause destruction in their life. He don't want you as sheep to be restful in the Lord. He don't want you to have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to have turmoil. He wants you to have anxiety. He wants you to have grief. He wants to ruin your life. He hates you. And he's just trying to shine. I told you a minute ago that he is an angel of light. That's the way he appears. I learned something about a wolf some time ago. How is it that you can kill a wolf? Let me say a few things about a wolf real quick. I've got a message about wolves. I've been studying. You know that in Minnesota, my mom and dad were up there in some of the places where the park rangers reign, and they said, "We don't have wolves here in Minnesota." Dad said, "Really? Well, I got a movie of one on my video camera." He said, "Let me see it." It was kind of a small looking wolf, but it was a wolf nonetheless in the wild. And the park ranger said, "Well, I stand corrected. There are wolves here." Then my mom and dad went to Alaska. And in Alaska, they saw a wolf. I'm telling you, he was a great big white wolf. He was huge. Me and my dad got talking. Minnesota is not hardly as cold as Alaska. True? Yeah. You'd think there's a whole lot more to eat in Minnesota than there is in Alaska. Jeff went to Alaska. What do you think, Jeff? Probably more to eat in Minnesota. How come the wolves are smaller in a warmer climate? And they're bigger in a colder climate. More vicious. More ferocious. I'll tell you why. Because he, as a white wolf, wants to shine. He is more vicious in a cold climate and can attack more sheep in a cold climate than he can in a saturated climate full with the Holy Ghost. Hear me, there's wolves sitting on some church membership in every church. I don't care what you claim to be, there is some wolf sitting there somewhere who's looking to divide, who's looking to destroy. You may say tonight, well, I got offended by what Calvin said about the prayer room. Well, you better be concerned about what I'm telling you now. There's a wolf on our church roll. There may be more than one. There may be a whole pack of them. But we ask, how do you kill a wolf? Well, we take a little bit of animal blood, sheep's blood. We put it on the end of a knife and put it in the freezer and freeze it. Then we take the knife after it's frozen with blood from a lamb. We take it and put it in the ground with the handle in the ground and the blade sticking up with blood on it. And cover it all up except for the sharp part of the knife. The wolf smells blood. He smells destruction. He's drawn by blood. He comes near it. He begins to smell of the problem. Ooh, there's a weakness here. And then he takes his tongue and he begins to lick that sharp knife. And as he begins to taste that blood frozen to it, he begins to cut his own tongue. Until he gets all anxious and excited, and he begins to just go so crazy over that blood that now he's licking his own blood. And eventually he'll bleed to death. I'm going to tell you what. If I need to cut a wolf down, I know who to see about getting it done. God can get the wolf out. You may think, well, our preacher's a hireling. He'll tuck his tail and run. Oh, no, I know the good shepherd will call him in. He'll lay his life down for the sheep. I guarantee you he'll defeat the wolf. The wolf wants to shine. You know what wants to shine in us? There's a little bit of wolf in all of us. It's called your flesh. I want pats on the back. I want recognition. I demand the phone call. I think you ought to visit. I think you ought to be more concerned with the money needs to come to my family. You thought you was going to get mad at what Calvin said? I laughed. I said, oh God, if you make me preach what I'm about to preach, Calvin's man, he just setting it up. Amen. And he didn't know what he was doing. You hear me? Your flesh needs to be crucified. It needs to be laid down on the old-fashioned altar. Amen. Give up the flesh and serve the Lord. Don't try to shine. Jesus is the only one that gets glory. Not you and not me. Jesus gets all the glory. I better move on because I don't want to bore you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Very familiar piece of scripture. Here was a scripture the man of God was using the night I got saved. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 8. We see the serpent who seduces. The fowl who steals. We see the wolf who shines, who appears pure, but when nobody's looking, is ready to attack, divide, and destroy the flock. Know him for what he is. He is a wolf. He may even be in sheep's clothing. And he may be our own flesh. In 1 Peter 5:8, likewise, 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We see him now as a lion. What is he looking to do? He is looking to devour. But first we must realize that he's looking. He is seeking. The lion is seeking prey. I'm telling you tonight, bounding through this church on all fours, with a mighty roar is the devil looking to attack some family, some home, some heart. And when he seeks you, he wants to devour you. My word here, since they all start with an S, is swallow. He wants to swallow you. He wants to swallow up your family. He wants to completely annihilate you. When the lion comes, and with one fatal swoop, he brings death. I'm telling you, the devil, my friend, can cause such destruction that you'll die from it. Do you realize that there's such a thing? That God would even allow a Christian who is rebellious, who will not repent after repeated warnings, God would take him and say, I'm going to turn you over to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved, but the body might be destroyed. Have you ever heard of such? Who is the one who he turned him over to destroy? Satan was the one going to do the destroying. Child of God, don't you think yourself above going to that place and getting that assignment? You want to rebel against God? You want to think your way is more important than this church as a whole or this church as a group is? God will sign your death warrant. He'll turn you over to a Satan for destruction of flesh, and he's just looking for somebody to swallow. He's just looking for somebody to devour. Notice that devil for what he is. He wants to seduce. He wants to steal. He wants to come into you and shine and appear like there's nothing wrong with him. He's more pure than anybody here. At the same time, he's going to swallow you up and try to kill you. Do we recognize the devil in these four animal tactics, these four animal actions? God has one more that I think we need to look at tonight. And it's found in Revelation chapter 12. Say, preacher, you preached almost 30 minutes. That's okay. You're only going to get 6 minutes of it anyhow. Now, Brother Calvin, I could say that to some churches. They wouldn't laugh like y'all just did. They'd just look at me and say, oh, Lord. All right, Revelation chapter 12. We've seen, now watch for him as the animal. Watch for him as the animal. We saw him as a serpent. We saw him as a bird. We saw him as a wolf. We saw him there just a minute ago as a lion. Watch for the animal. Then we'll get his action. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. And a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. I see a woman. She's clothed with the sun. She's got the moon under her feet, and on her head's 12 stars. Okay? She's about to deliver a child. She's going through the pains of childbirth. Who do you think that woman is? It's Israel. That's exactly right. It's Israel. Here's Israel. And who's about to be birthed? The Messiah. The Son of the living God is going to be birthed to a virgin named Mary. And it's Israel. It's going to have the Messiah going to be birthed. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. There's our animal. Do you see him? He's not just a dragon. He's a red dragon. He's not just a red dragon. He's a great red dragon. He is one to be noticed. He is one to be observed. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. In other words, he's got authority on this earth. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Who's the third part of the stars? That's the angels that came out of there with him. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour. There's our word again, devour her child as soon as it was born. I'm telling you, he was looking to shut down the Messiah. He went all the way back to the Passover. He tried to stop it. He didn't want Moses to even be born. He tried to stop it. He tried to stop the Passover. He tried to stop through Herod's edict Jesus from being born. He was standing there doing everything he could, saying all the male children from certain age down is going to be killed. But Joseph and Mary, they feared God. And read on. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days on the Jewish calendar. 1,260 days is 3.5 years. That is the last part of the great tribulation. You now see Jesus, who's been born. He's lived, died, risen again. seated and sitting on the right hand of God. The church has been birthed in. They've been raptured home. Now Israel, the Antichrist is in power. And Israel goes and hides in the wilderness because they know the Antichrist is a false Christ. Read with me. Right then there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Hear me. The devil has access to heaven. You remember, he was walking to and fro in the earth in Job's day. And when the sons of God were called before the throne, there he appeared. There he was. He had access. He stands there to accuse. He began to point fingers at Job. Says, Job fears you. He's accusing you. He's against your family. He says, I want you to look at what Dennis did. I want you to look at what Paul did. I want you to look at what Jerry did. You look! He's accusing. And I'm telling you what, he's got access. But Michael and the angels of glory begin to fight with this dragon. And the dragon's access is stopped. He gets kicked out. No more will God hear him accuse the brethren. I like that, don't you? And I heard, read now. Prevailed not. The great dragon, verse 9, was cast out. The old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah for that. That old wolf and that old bird, that old buzzard's what he is, amen. He's been defeated, that old great dragon. How? By the blood of the Lamb, amen. And by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. In other words, the devil's been kicked out of heaven. Now he's limited here. If you're still here in the great tribulation, he says, woe. Because he's not going to have time to spend in heaven anymore. He's kicked out. That great last 3.5 years, he's going to be going nuts like a lion backed in a corner. He's going to fight with all he's got. Going to get his beast, his Antichrist, and his false prophet. And he's going to get them to war against God. But then there's going to come a battle of Armageddon. Jesus is going to come back. Go with me in Revelation chapter 19. Jesus is going to come back. Y'all know about this. Jesus is going to come back. In the Bible, and you can read that in verse number 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven fought him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who is that? It's the saints of God. It's me and you. We're going to come riding back, amen. Riding back for the war that's going to take place. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Don't you drift on me now. Satan, don't you let Satan steal it. We're almost done. Don't you let the devil take the word away from you. You pay attention. You focus in on what's getting ready to happen. Read with me now. Go down to verse number 19. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Immediately, the devil himself gets chained up for 1,000 years. The millennium, a time of pure peace, takes over. But the devil's going to be loosed for a little season. He comes out. You know what he's doing? Chapter number 20. All the way down verse number 8. Verse number 7. Satan, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations. I mean, all those that were in perfect peace, perfect rest, he's going to go out to deceive them and say, hey, don't serve this Jesus Christ. Why? I can treat you better. He don't care for you. He's going to be the same seducer, the same deceiver that he ever was. The Bible says he goes out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Those are rebellious people. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them and the devil. Here we go. And the devil. That dragon that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That dragon, we've not told you what his action is. There's a lot of things he's going to do. But tonight he's going to, and I want him to hear, old dragon, you're going to succumb. You will be defeated. I don't care how great. I don't care how red. I don't care how vicious. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated you at Calvary and will defeat you and utterly defeat you at the Battle of Armageddon. And you know what? There's going to come a day when the dragon not only succumbs, but he surrenders. Watch him as he gets on his knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he don't say, I almost had you, it ain't fair, blah, blah, blah. He's going to say, he's going to confess with his mouth that Jesus, he's going to praise him one more time. He got kicked out because he wouldn't praise him no more. But he's going to praise him one more time that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings to the glory of God the Father. Ain't you glad? I mean, I tell you, it disturbs me that that serpent wants to seduce us. It disturbs me that that fowl wants to steal from us. It disturbs me that that old wolf wants to shine, get noticed, and divide us. It really bothers me. It bothers me that that lion wants to swallow us. But I am enthused emphatically that that dragon will succumb. And that dragon will surrender at the authority of Jesus. Y'all, we're going to stand in heaven forever and ever and praise the holy name of the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. Because the devil has been defeated. Bless the name of Jesus with all my soul and all that's in me. Bless His holy name. We've overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight. That's the message God laid on my heart. I feel ought to read this verse. I could quote it, but I want to read it. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Show me what you and I did to be worthy of salvation. Show me what specific thing you did to receive the grace of God other than confess yourself a sinner and believe in the Son of God. Undeserving, oh yeah. Unworthy for sure, but made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Father, tonight I pray that you would take this message and God, you'd use it for your glory. I pray, God, for that Christian tonight, Lord Jesus, who's being seduced by the devil. I pray, God, for that Christian tonight who wants to shine in their flesh and be noticed. Oh, they'll stand and say, oh, I don't want any attention. But in their heart of hearts, they're easily offended when they aren't noticed or stand out in the crowd. God, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that our attention would be on you and not on things of this world, mowing the grass and going to work and not focusing on the Word of God for just a few minutes each day. Lord, tonight, we thank you that that old lion, that old dragon, that old bird, that old serpent, oh, Lord Jesus, tonight that wolf has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless this message, I pray, in Jesus' name with your victory. Amen.